The main subject of our scripture reading this morning is the man Joseph, a man engaged to a pregnant young woman, a man, as we gather, who was in a tug of war with himself. It's good, I feel, for Joseph, the fathering one, to have time in the limelight. He's so often stuck in the background. You know, in the manger scenes, he's always the one in the back, along with the sheep and the goats. But I also feel that Joseph was a forgiving man who would probably say, "Oh, that's all right. Let the stars shine on the main characters." Forgiveness. Forgiving is not to be confused with forgetting or reconciliation, for forgiveness is neither. It's not something we do for others. It's a gift, God's gift to ourselves. It exists, as does all true healing, at the intersection of compassion or love and justice. Joseph, the fathering one, a message in a dream, forgiveness, compassion, justice. Let us prepare in and for this Advent morning with a reading from the Good News according to Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 to 25, and I've taken this from the Message, the Bible in contemporary language. The birth of Jesus took place like this. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. Before they came to the marriage bed, Joseph discovered that she was pregnant. It was by the Holy Spirit, but he didn't know that. Joseph, chagrined but noble, determined to take care of things quietly so Mary would not be disgraced. While he was trying to figure a way out, he had a dream. God's angel spoke in that dream. "Joseph, son of David, don't hesitate to get married. Mary's pregnancy is spirit-conceived. God's Holy Spirit has made her pregnant. She will bring a son to birth, and when she does, you, Joseph, will name him Jesus, which means God saves, because he will save his people from their sins. This would bring the prophet's embryonic sermon to a full term. Watch for this, the prophet says. A virgin will get pregnant and bear a son. They will name him Emmanuel, which is Hebrew for God is with us." And then Joseph woke up. He did exactly what God's angel commanded in the dream. He married Mary. But he did not consummate the marriage until she had her baby, and he named the baby Jesus. Here ends the reading of this scriptural, legendary story. May God continue to speak to us as we worship in spirit and in truth.
Let us pray. We who are so comfortably locked away in the safe places of our own imaginings, O God, wait for you now. Come, quickly, come. Amen. Pastor Clint's introduction to Joseph was particularly appropriate because yesterday we had a Joseph rescue. You see before you the lovely China creche scene. Well, Joseph was hiding in the crowd back by the candle somewhere, and a shepherd had taken his place up next to the manger. How uniquely appropriate for the Joseph that we read about in Matthew. Hold that image, if you would, in your hearts. I remember vividly the afternoon that I drove home, the early afternoon, for lunch in the church I was serving. My home was close enough that I could scoot home for a quick meal without any problem. I was still in my bachelor days then, so there was even less of a complication as to coordinating schedules. And I will never forget the feeling as I rounded the corner and knew instantly that something was wrong. And as I pulled into the driveway and around to the back of the house where the carport was, my sense was confirmed. The glass was shattered on the porch door. The kitchen door was standing open. Things were thrown about inside the house, and a number of things were quite obviously missing. Now, of all the things that were taken that day, many of them were pricey for me in those days. I was a young pastor making a livable wage, but certainly not wealthy. But of all the things that were taken, the one that I would miss the most was the hammered aluminum candy dish that had always sat next to my grandfather's chair. Now, why in the world would they want a hammered aluminum candy dish? I don't know. But it left, and I was a victim of theft. Now, as you know, that was not an isolated occurrence in my life. As recently as last summer, when I was so wonderfully pickpocketed on the train platform in Paris. Unauthorized entries have marked the journey of my life through the years, every now and then. And if statistics are any measure, I am far from being alone. One statistic I read recently suggested that as many as 6 out of 10 people will experience some sort of a break-in or significant theft in their lifetime. And I'm just curious to test that statistic. How many sitting here today have had their homes broken into, or their cars, or something significant stolen from them? I think we might be right about 60%, or perhaps even better. It's quite an experience, isn't it? There's a violation involved, and I have to say, I never did feel quite that way about that house ever again. It was a bit later, maybe a month and a half or so, and in the middle of the night, I was asleep, and it's surprising how vividly I remember this. I heard a funny noise, kind of a, and I thought, Jack just took the trash out. Jack was my neighbor. At the back, and the bedroom window was closest to his back door. Never mind that it was 1:30 or 2 in the morning, and what in the world would Jack be doing taking the trash out? That eventually worked through my head because they were gnawing, what sounded like gnawing noises after that. And eventually my slow-to-react brain, this will not surprise you, woke me up and said, you know, something is not right here. Maybe you need to explore this. And sure enough, peering out the bedroom window to the carport, I could see a head inside my car, gnawing away at the console and removing the radio. Now, the person inside the car was not the brightest bulb in the chain. Let's just put it that way, because he was wearing a very distinctive hat that I recognized right away. This was someone I had worked with and tried to help along the journey. Well, he got away with the radio, left the center of my little Subaru hatchback in shambles, but of course he was caught because of his identifying hat and a few other things that he left along the way. Unauthorized entries put us in a very precarious and interesting situation, don't they? Now, my reason for telling you this is not to share my stories of woe or to call to mind yours alone, but is to talk about Joseph. Because Joseph had an unauthorized entry into his life. Came in the form of a dream and a young bride-to-be whom he loved, who was suddenly discovered to be pregnant. That's an unauthorized entry. It was an unauthorized entry into life as he expected to live it. He had a personal life chart, most of us do. Despite what we say, the way we think, things are going to unfold for us today, tomorrow, this week, this year, 5 years from now, or 10. Joseph had an unauthorized entry into his life chart. Things were not going to unfold the way he had imagined. He would become the patron saint, I suppose, of step-parents everywhere. But more than that, he had to struggle with what would he do with this pregnant, young, very young woman, likely, whom he loved. He had an unauthorized entry into his moral values. The moral values were clear. What was to happen to her and to him if it were to be suspected that he were the baby's father? There was also an unauthorized entry later on into his personal safety. You know that story. Crazy Herod, who ordered babies to be killed, seeking to destroy this new baby Jesus. And so, according to Matthew's account, off to Egypt they went. Many layers to this story, but it was definitely an unauthorized entry into his life. There is another side to the Christmas narrative that we often overlook. And it isn't just the Christmas narrative, of course. It is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. There is another side to it. There is a beautiful side. And that we know well. There is that lovely, beautiful, bright, sentimental Jackie Lawson, Currier and Ives side of Christmas that cannot help but capture us no matter what our situation. But there is another side, and I've chosen to label it the unauthorized entry side. The side where God breaks in. Where God crashes our barriers and boundaries and safe exiles and sanctuaries. Jesus, in fact, would at one point say the kingdom of God is like a thief in the night. That little crunching sound you hear may not be your neighbor taking the trash out. It may be the call of God, in fact, to something that you had never previously even imagined. There is a sharp edge to this other side of the story, this other side of the gospel. God's reign breaking in, crashing into common sense and the way things are supposed to be done, and even our moral sensibilities to lift our heart and eyes to some new, unimagined place. Joseph stands so big for me in the Christmas narrative, partly because of the events that were related, but also because of this tremendous unauthorized entry that is so symbolic of the one I have experienced, and I suspect you have too, on many occasions. Consider the early Jesus community. We don't know a huge amount about them, but we know enough to know that they were an unauthorized entry into the Roman Empire. They did not do empire very well. Taking the Jesus story as they did and building it into their lives, they lived in a way that was not consistent with loyal followers of the emperor. They would not, for instance, wear the empire emblems on their clothing, and for that, they were put to death. They would not serve in the emperor's army. They would not be sent to far-flung places to kill other people on the basis of the empire. They were an unauthorized entry into the culture around them, because they also would not fight against the Romans. And in their location at that time in the world, it was expected that able-bodied men in particular, but not only men, would organize their lives to rise up against the Romans and expel them from the countryside. And the early Jesus people would not do that. They insisted on including women and slaves and God knows who else into their communities, not as second-class participants, but in fact as equal participants, and one of the slaves at least became a bishop, what we would now call a bishop. Isn't that extraordinary? Talk about unauthorized entries. And they were unauthorized entries into the world of religion. And eventually, for that reason, they were cast out and persecuted. And it was in that difficult time that the Gospels were written. What about you? What are your moments of unauthorized entry by the Holy Spirit into your life map, your moral sensibilities, your way of living? What disruptions has the Holy Spirit heaped on you? Has it been in the midst of helping others and having your hand bitten for the effort? Has it been maybe some rejection that you have suffered by family or other loved ones? I suspect if we were to go around the room and talk from our hearts honestly, we could recount many, many, many episodes of unauthorized entries, uncomfortable, often painful and difficult, and yet in the midst of which we were able to discern the work of the Holy Spirit and the leading on to some new way of living and believing. Today, some of us are going to go out and sing Christmas carols to some of our folks for whom it is no longer easy to get out. And we will be wearing outrageous things. How do I know that? Because some of you are already wearing outrageous things. Check out the footwear of some of the people you're worshiping with this morning. I think there ought to be some rules about things like that, even in a place like this that doesn't do rules all that well. We're going to go out and sing Christmas carols and other songs, some of which will be very sacred and some of which won't. Some of them will sound beautiful, some of them will sound, frankly, well, whatever the opposite of that is. We won't exactly have unauthorized entry, although some may forget that we're coming and it might seem like that to them. But there is another side to what we will be doing, because we won't just be singing songs, and we won't just be taking the beautiful bags that some of you have prepared with goodies and cards and visible reminders that they have not been forgotten, even though we don't see them very often. There's another side to what will be going on, because we will be opening ourselves, and I hope those for whom we sing, with whom we sing, to unauthorized entry by the Holy Spirit. That even though their capacities may seem diminished, they are not done with God's great love and their ability to touch the lives of others. And Tuesday night we'll gather in this place again for what is arguably the most beautiful service of the year. I say arguably because there are some other candidates. And we will read those scriptures again, and if we're not careful, we're going to miss the dangerous side of them. Because we cannot read these scriptures without understanding that in the midst of the angels and the shepherds and the beautiful things that are conjured up in our hearts and minds, in the background somewhere, Beyond the alleluias and the glorias, if we listen carefully, we will hear the sound of breaking glass. And nothing will ever be the same. May it be so. Onward. Amen.